little while ago, Pete and I were chatting about the upcoming sermon series and if there was a specific topic that I would like to speak on. Fasting, for some reason, was the one that I chose. Now, for those of you who know me, know that I love food. I think that secretly, I'm a hobbit. My ideal day would involve breakfast, second breakfast, 11s, lunch, afternoon tea, dinner, and then supper before bed, maybe even with a snack or two scattered throughout. So fasting is something I have very little experience in. Challenge accepted. When I spoke to Josh about the topic of choice, he was very enthusiastic and decided that we should do some fasting together. Then the lockdown happened and snacks were so much more readily available, making it a lot more difficult. However, we did manage a day of fasting earlier this week, and I'm going to share some of our learning journey with you today. But first of all, I've got a challenge for all of the children, and you need to listen up before you can get on with your activity. So the first question that you need to answer really is, what is fasting? Well, fasting is giving up food or something else for a period of time in order to focus your thoughts on God. While fasting, many people read the Bible, they pray, or they worship. So to help you all think about this, I've sent round an activity sheet for you to fill in over the next few minutes. You can do this on your computer, you can do it on a printout, or you can recreate your own. You're going to be thinking about what you spend the most time doing during your day and what your favourite snacks are, and whether you would consider giving up any of those things on your list so that you can create time to read the Bible or pray or worship God. Feel free to write, draw, decorate, whatever you want on your sheet, because they are yours. And the rest of us are going to look in a little more depth about what fasting is, what the purpose is, and whether we should still be doing it today. So, what is fasting and what makes it a gift? Well, there are two different ways of looking at fasting. Many people in the UK fast as part of their normal lifestyle to be fitter and healthier, to detox or lose weight. That's not really what I'm interested in, and I'm not sure that I could fast for those reasons. Or we can see fasting as an exceptional measure designed to channel and express our desire for God. It's for those of us who want more of God's grace, for those who are desperate for God's presence. If we open up the Bible, we can see various forms of fasting in different ways that it might take. There are examples of personal and communal, public and private, congregational and national, regular and occasional, partial and absolute. But typically, we think of fasting as voluntarily foregoing food for a limited period of time for a specific spiritual purpose. We can fast from things other than food and drink, perhaps social media, our phones, TV, a particular type of food like crisps or chocolate. And often we see people giving up food like that during Lent, sometimes for a spiritual purpose, and sometimes because it is just so ingrained in our culture that we give food up for Lent. However, usual Christian fasting means privately and occasionally choosing to go without food for a set period of time, whether that's a day, 3 days, 7 days, in view of a specific spiritual purpose. Now, one question that I was keen to answer was, what makes fasting a gift? We're in our spiritual gifts series, and for me, a gift is something that is given to me. It makes me feel happy or loved. It's given without the expectation that I will do anything to repay the giver. And to be honest, fasting feels more like a chore or a difficult task rather than a gift. Well, when we begin to see fasting as a way to focus our feelings and our expression towards God in prayer, then we'll start to see fasting as a gift. When we feel that hunger deep in our tummies and the pain that suggests that we need food, it's time to see fasting as a means of grace. As we voluntarily embrace the pain of an empty stomach, do we see how much we've allowed our belly to be our God and to rule our day? There are times when our tummies rumble, and that is a good reminder to turn our eyes towards Jesus. In fact, the other day I was reading the Youth Bible, and one of the activities was to write the name Jesus on a piece of paper and then look up and try and trace over that name. The point being that if we take our eyes off Jesus, It's easy for us to go astray, so we need to be focusing so that we can follow Jesus. Piper says that fasting is the physical exclamation mark at the end of the sentence, "This much, O God, I want you." And so we need to look at what the purpose of fasting is. We need to look at fasting less as being for those who have got life figured out, who are super close to God, and more for those of us who are poor in spirit, for those of us who mourn, for the meek, for those hunger for righteousness. In other words, fasting is for all Christians. And some of the spiritual purposes which are found in the Bible can be for strengthening prayer, for seeking God's guidance, for expressing grief, for seeking deliverance or protection, expressing repentance and returning to God, humbling oneself before God, ministering to the needs of others, dedicating yourself to God, or expressing love and worship to God. And as I've been reading around, it would seem that the most common reason for fasting is to express that love and worship to God. And that kind of encompasses all the other reasons of worshipping God through fasting. In fact, on Thursday morning's update, Sarah said, "God wants to talk to us about us." And that is a reason to fast, not just to pour your own heart out to God and to worship him, but to listen to what he is saying to you, the way he is calling you, making time to be receptive to God's voice. The reading this morning was taken from the book of Nehemiah, and there's a lot going on in this book, and ideally it should be read together with Ezra, which, according to the chart that Pete posted on Facebook the other day, it would only take an hour and 40 minutes to read both books. So if you want to know more about rebuilding the temple in Jerusalem after exile, then that is the place to look. However, I want to draw our attention to verse 4. "When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed for the God of heaven," before the God of heaven. As soon as Nehemiah heard the bad news, he fasted. He turned to God in prayer. This stuck with me. When I hear bad news, what is my first thought? To cry, to share that with the people that I love, to get support from other people. Well, Nehemiah has just taught me that my first response should be to bring it to God. This showed me that for Nehemiah, prayer was a habit and not just a last resort. Prayer was for him to hear God's voice and not just for God to hear his. Prayer confessed his need. And maybe these are characteristics of prayer and fasting that I need to take on in my own life. And perhaps they are for you too. That our first port of call should be to come before God in prayer and fast and pray as a habit and not just as a last resort. So in 2020, is fasting something that we should still be doing? Or is it just for Old Testament times before Jesus came? Something that I found really interesting was looking at my own attitude towards fasting. For me, it was something that I know people did in the Old Testament, and now the only people that fast are those super spiritual people. But then I realised that actually fasting didn't end in the Old Testament. It's very obvious throughout the New Testament too. In fact, it's a basic assumption from Jesus that his followers will fast. In Matthew 6:16-18, it says, "And when you fast, do not put on a sad face as the hypocrites do. They neglect their appearance so that everyone will see that they are fasting. I assure you, they've already been paid in full. When you go without food, wash your face and comb your hair so that others cannot know that you are fasting. Only your Father who is unseen will know. And your Father, who sees what you do in private, will reward you." We need to notice here that Jesus said when you fast and not if you fast or if you ever get round to fasting. And there are many passages throughout Acts that demonstrate these patterns of fasting. And I really do recommend that during this week you open your Bibles and look through some of the passages that talk about fasting. It's spoken about as if it's the most normal thing to do. Now, as I mentioned earlier, I'm not the type of person to willingly give up food for anything, but decided that I couldn't exactly preach about fasting without putting it into practice myself. So on Monday, Josh and I fasted for 24 hours. trying to remember all the things that I'd skim read whilst thinking about the service for today. So you might ask, what did we get out of fasting on Monday? Well, apart from a headache, tiredness, grumbling, hungry tummy, nothing. I got nothing out of it. And that's when I realised that it wasn't about me. It wasn't a look how good I am. It was a look how good God is. I intentionally set aside a period of 24 hours to fast so I would have time to dwell in God's presence. I didn't spend the whole time praying, but I did spend most of my day in some form of communication with God, sat listening to music and doing art, calling out to Him when I was hungry for His strength, and crying out whilst I was in the shower for all of the things that were on my heart, for our world, for people that I know, longing for more of God. And it reminded me of a man that I met when I was in Nepal with BMS. He was the head teacher of a school I was working in, and he was a Christian. Over Christmas, we had a break from working in that school for a few weeks. And when we returned, he was telling me about his desperate desire to have more provisions for his school in terms of sports equipment for the playground. He shared that he'd been fasting and praying for 40 days, knowing that there was time was near when God would provide those things. And the next time I walked into that school, what did I see? I saw children playing with skipping ropes and hula hoops. They had so many more things to play with and sports equipment. And God heard the cry of that man and had provided for those children. Now, I'm not suggesting that we throw ourselves in with a 40-day fast. 24 hours is hard enough. But to have the faith and the desperate measure for a desperate time, to call out on God to provide all that he needed. I mentioned earlier that fasting was a desperate measure for a desperate time, perhaps a time that we find ourselves in now, in the middle of a global pandemic. I always find it helpful after hearing a sermon or a podcast or whatever it is I'm listening to have a challenge to action, rather than just letting it wash over you. Which is why I'm suggesting that as a church, we join together in fasting this coming Friday. Fasting doesn't have to be fasting from food. For some people, it isn't possible to abstain from eating. Perhaps instead of fasting from food, you could fast from TV, social media, all technology, or some other enjoyment that would create time and space in your day that you could spend praying and worshipping God instead. Maybe for families, you could have a look at the list that your children have created today and choose one thing off there that you're going to fast for a day or for a week. And use that time that you would usually spend doing that activity to gather together to pray. If we see fasting as a desperate measure for desperate times among those who know themselves desperate for God and as a gift for God, then we can join together to fast for the world that we currently live in. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for the gift of fasting. Thank you that we are able to turn our eyes towards you. Thank you that we are able to come to you for guidance, to know you more, to seek repentance, and to express our love and praise for you. As we fast and pray, would you open our eyes and our hearts to seek you more, to put you first in our lives, before our hunger or our desire to check Facebook or watch TV. May we surrender all that we are to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you are serious about fasting,